Amen. In first service, I belabored them with a song, and I'm going to sing part of it, and then you're going to sing it back to me. And the reason is because of the sorrow and what all is happening in our world and in our country. And it's been a hard week for all of us, and I received, as did all of the ministers in our region from our regional minister, just an encouragement about today and about what to preach and, you know, things that you might lift up and that sort of thing. Well, God and I talk about that a little earlier in the week, so I am preaching on forgiveness, but it had, God knew, but I didn't, what all we would live this week and the weeks prior to that. So it came into my heart. I did this one other time, and I don't sing well, so bear with me. But I'm going to sing, and then you sing back to me, and maybe it will remind us that we are unified in Christ. He's playing his phone. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they'll know we are Christians by our love. For just such a time as this, we come and worship God. We come and seek the presence of Jesus the Christ. We come here to be filled. We come here to empty ourselves. We come here because we are gathered in Christ's name, and he's the one that calls and says, come together, I will comfort you, I will not leave you without comfort. And so as we prepare our hearts and our minds and we begin, as we talk about the announcements of things that may seem inconsequential, but life goes on, and thank God it does. And an order gives us some sense of safety. And so if you will look at your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, you may feed your spirit this week by attending Bible study tomorrow night. You may come to one or both of the praying group gatherings that we have now, and we will meet today at 12:15 in the library, so anyone, all people are invited to come. We met this last week on Wednesday at 10 a.m. We'll continue to do that for a couple, three, 4 weeks, see how we're responding to that. I can tell you that our first experience was wonderful. We had about 13 people. We prayed for each other. We prayed for those that we know and love. We prayed for those that we don't know. We prayed for the world. We prayed for all that was going on in our country. And so it was very refreshing and renewing. And when we left that space, and in fact, they lingered, which is always a good sign. They lingered, and then when they left, all day long felt right. as my grandmother used to say about Sunday morning, she'd say, if you go to church on Sunday, the rest of your week is downhill. So just know that if you want to join us, you're more than welcome. You don't have to come every time. You can come every time if you want to, but wander in and out, and as God leads you to do that. We're praying for our congregation, and where is God discerning that we should go? And so be a part of that in some way. You are invited in always. The feeding of the Spirit also happens on Wednesday evening. Not only do we feed people that come and share meals that are prepared by people of our congregation, but tell us a little bit, Nancy, about Wednesday evening, this last Wednesday evening. 43 people. Very, very good. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you so much. As this becomes more of a habit, I think we will see more and more people coming. At different times of the year, there'll be more people, there'll be less people. So if you want to feed your spirit, go and help on any of the teams. You can just walk in, say, give me a job, and you know, they will orient you to the kitchen in the serving. So feed your bodies by walking with Trailblazers on Thursday at 10 a.m. And the cabinet meeting, we serve the heart of the church at cabinet meeting on this Wednesday evening. And the Girl Scouts are asking that if you go to Farmer's Market on July 30th and you purchase fresh vegetables, that you might purchase a little extra and bring it over to the Girl Scouts, and they will share that. So they'll be at the market in some corner, I read, okay? All right, so just look for them and help support them in that way. Are there any other announcements? Yes.
We had our first granddaughter on July 3rd. Her name is Heidi Grace, and she was 7 pounds, 4 ounces. So we're here to celebrate today, Ivan and I. So we've had a good week, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah, he says, that's great. I've got a new sister. Well, Lord, hear our prayer. I went and visited, and they didn't offer for me to hold Heidi Grace for a while, and then finally they all had held her, and I finally got up the courage to ask, because sometimes, you know, I remember being a new mom. I know it's been a long time, but I do remember, and I remember being a little overly protective, but she is beautiful and solid, and she is just healthy, 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 so, and Mama and Daddy are in love, so it is wonderful to see. Are there any other announcements? Yes.
We have visitors today, friends and neighbors of ours from the Indiana Masonic Home, Mr. and Mrs. Rex Bales, Rex and Nyla.
Rex and Milo, welcome. Thank you, Ken. That's nice. That's very nice. Okay, anyone else?
Yes.
Oh.
The first service, I asked the men in the congregation what they thought about trying to put together a men's group. And one of them said, well, that's been done before, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work. But the other day I heard that Thomas Edison failed at starting a light bulb some 2,000 times. And it was said to Thomas, what do you think about your failures? Well, they weren't failures. I just found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
Not to make a light bulb.
So I'm asking for the men of this congregation to think about forming some type of group to get together to do good works, whether it be a Mother's Day dinner, one day a month to have lunch, go to a ball game. Just different things that we might be able to do. So if that's something that you would like to think about doing, please let me know. Give me your ideas. I would be looking for volunteers to help, and let's see if we can put something together for the men of the church. Okay. Thank you.
Are you going to tell the name?
No, we'll let the name go.
Bad Boys of Tabernacle Christian Church. I don't know who he's married to, but I'm telling you, she has her hands full. Yeah. Are there any other announcements? Do you have anything? Okay. All right. The other thing, oh, yes, Jed.
I just wanted to know how Carolyn Klinger was getting along. Or Caroline Klinger, if there was any new word about how she's getting along.
Who?
Caroline Klinger.
Oh, Caroline Klinger. I don't know. I have not had an update. I have not had an update. Uh-huh. Yes.
I saw her just a couple of days ago, and she's doing much better. Mm-hmm. She is using a cane, but she did not have the big boot on her foot. Uh-huh. So I think they said we won't be at church this week.
Good.
But probably would like cards. So she's doing well.
Good. Good. Thank you. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Let's go to God in our call to worship. If you will stand and look on the front page of your bulletin, Mike will lead us.
Good morning. Please remember to pass the attendance book down the pew. And join me in the call to worship. Please bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who redeems your life, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And now please turn in your hymnal to number 16, and we'll sing 1 and 3.
Greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you having Sunday school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought maybe that's what they were going to do up there.
Oh, maybe they are.
I don't know.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 18, verses 23 through 33, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. But you can follow along in the Pew Bible on page 17. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought him to a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Because the servant didn't have enough to pay it back, the master ordered that he should be sold, along with his wife and children and everything he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down, kneeled before him, and said, "Please be patient with me. I'll pay you back." The master had compassion on that servant, released him, and forgave the loan. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him around the throat and said, "Pay me back what you owe me." Then his fellow servant fell down and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he threw him into the prison until he paid back his debt. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply offended. They came and told their master all that had happened. His master called the first servant and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you appealed to me. Shouldn't you have also had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?"
If there are any children that would like to go for Sunday school, you may go now. And we go into a time of prayer, a time where we share among ourselves our joys so that they can be multiplied, and a time to divide our worries and concerns and fears among our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they will be divided and diminished in the burden of carrying them. And so I lift up some that I already have. I lift up Butch Bowling, a self family member who is struggling with pancreatic issues, and we lift him up to the Lord for healing and cure. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. I lift up Catherine Jones as she continues to struggle with health issues. Please let us pray for days of joy and hope and peace for she and her family. And we lift her up to the Lord and we pray. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up Amy Kiever as she begins a series of surgeries and continues to heal. May she have great courage and great strength, and may her children know that their mama is working hard to get better. And we ask prayers for Cindy as she makes this journey with her. And we lift her up to the Lord and that entire family, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Wes Lucas as he continues to live away from home, and just keep him in your prayers, and may he know and sense our prayers around him. And may Karen and Ruth and Nancy also know that we are keeping them in our prayers. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Scott Parkhurst as he continues to suffer with his back. And so we lift him up for complete healing and for discovering a way in which that pain can be relieved. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up Nancy Leffler, her dad, as he is struggling with health issues, and ask that he has all that he needs, and strength and hope and courage, and especially contentment and peace in these days. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. I ask that we pray deeply for our country, that we pray deeply for our world, and that we lift up police officers everywhere, but especially the police officers' families and friends and communities as they suffer and mourn the passing of five police officers. I also ask that we hold in prayer the officer who shot the man that sort of initiated all of this, and the man's family who died in that police stop. And so we just lift that whole pain and anger and hurt and fear. We lift it up to the Lord and we say, help us, Lord. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We give thanks and express our joy in that autumn is home. And I'm sure that Mama and Daddy were worried and joy-filled that she had that opportunity, but they're glad she's home. And so we're glad that she's back among us and had a good time, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our praise. Are there any others that you would like to lift up? Yes, Tim. Oh, I'm so sorry. What is her name, Tim? Kathy Tomey? Okay. We lift up Kathy Tomey's family as she passed this last Friday. Your family's going through a lot, aren't they? And so we lift them up to the Lord, and may they feel our support and our prayers. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Any others? Yes, Doyle. Okay, all right. We just ask the guidance and the wisdom and God's work through that surgeon. We ask that the parents feel the presence of God around them and as they worry and watch and wait. And we ask a successful surgery. And tell me Sailor's first name. Colette. Colette Sailor is this little girl that we've been praying for. And so we lift her up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Reverend Bob Fair, that usually he and Eileen sit in the back, and he is at Community South with some health issues, and they are doing tests, and they actually did a procedure this morning to try and find out what's going on with him. So we lift up he and Eileen up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I also lift up Andy Sewell. Many of you knew him, 26-year-old that died this last week in a car accident. He first came into our prayers and first service by John Spiker, and then also Martha and Janie brought his family into our prayers. So we lift up the family of that young man and all who knew. This is impacting the community at large. And so we lift up Andy Sewell's family and friends and all who knew and love him. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. And Bob Hensley had surgery, and he's still recovering. He won't be back for a couple of months. He is someone who attends First Service. I don't know that he's ever attended this service, but we just lift him up to the Lord, and we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others? All right, let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Hear us, O forgiving, healing God. We bring all glory and all that is good within us to you, with seeking, praising hearts as we bow before you. Remind us, O Lord, that we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. If one member suffers, all suffer its pain. If one member is honored, all share its joy. We gather as a faith community of love to bring ourselves and others to Jesus, our great physician, whose gift is wholeness in a broken apart world. We ask for your blessing, O God, of body, mind, and spirit, for we are surely sorrow-filled and bewildered in these days of violence, hate, and discouragement. We open ourselves to the healing ministry of you, O God Almighty, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We seek to know that you, Lord, are near, and may we come with our requests known to you in our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Guard our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. Holy Father, as friends in Christ, you know our needs before we ask. Then, in our asking, prepare us to receive the gift of grace. We pray and confess to you, God, whatever has wounded us or brought injury to others, that we receive mercy and become for each other a healing balm out of your grace. O eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we forget at times your blessed mercy within the blindness of our hearts. Cleanse us, O Lord, of all our offenses and deliver us from thoughts or desires of injury of others. In reverence and humility, we draw near to you, God of all, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding our refuge as our strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to you, Lord our God, as you forgive within our confession all our offenses. Cure all our ills, redeem our lives. O Lord, we pray, from the abyss of indifference, self-centeredness, fear, and apathy. The mercy of you, Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting, and it is in the name of our precious Jesus that we are forgiven. We ask that you reach out to any who hurt or are broken with their hatred through us. We who love you and hold dear to your unconditional love and great mercy, help us, O Lord, we pray, to help, not hurt. Grant that we know that when we keep silent, groaning in our inner selves, not acknowledging our sin, we waste away in body, mind, and spirit. Heal us, God, of resurrection and redemption, and make us whole again as we confess and repent and receive perpetually the miracle of your forgiveness. And in all times, may we pray with all that we are, in all that we do, the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May we flawed and broken, come with generous love, with tithes and offerings, as people who forgive and are forgiven. May we be a blessing in our offering of service and money and hope to others, in the precious name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior.
over the world, there are those of your family in desperate need this day. With you, there is no distinction regarding who should receive help, for all are worthy in your sight. It is in your spirit that we make our offering, committing ourselves and resources to your vision of an earth and heaven where all people are one in love and mercy, justice and kindness. Amen.
Someone said that we ought to play a game called Finding Evie, because I'm back here in this pulpit. Some were having trouble seeing because the sun comes in. Well, the sun isn't out there today, but here I am nonetheless. So I think we should start something in the newspaper about Finding Waldo Evie. And then you can try and have people come in and they can try and find me. I might preach from out there. I might, who just knows where I might be. So keep watch. I was told that the lectionary this week is The Good Samaritan. And God and I talked earlier in the week, and I felt this urge to preach on forgiveness. So this was the scripture that came to my heart. And then I started listening, and it is about forgiveness. And not just forgiveness in one individual's life, but forgiveness in community. So we will thank God for the guidance. And I just ask that you go with me to God right now in prayer. Oh, gracious and loving God, I just ask that your words, your message for your people come through loud and clear. May it feed their souls and feed their hearts, and may it lift their spirits. May whatever challenges that they or we need be there, so that we can grow in faith and flourish in our love of neighbor. And so I ask now to step aside and to allow your message to come through. And I thank you for this time with your people in this place called Sanctuary. It is in the sweet and holy name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray and ask these things. Amen. This is a parable, a contemporary parable to the ancient parable that was written. So let's go into it. Take a big deep breath. Breathe in the breath of Jesus and let everything out that distracts you, everything that worries you, everything that keeps you from this place. For we will only be here for a short while to renew and refresh and to give glory to God. Once there was a man of means, and he became ill, and he was aged. He called his only son and said, "My dearest son, I know I was not a very good father to you as you were growing up, but I had a poor example from my father. He was too much involved in making money when I was a boy. Before he died, he asked for my forgiveness. I, of course, gave it to him. After all, he was my father. However, I made the same mistake and spent too much time with my business and making money and not enough time with you. Now I am old and ill, and as my father did, I am asking you for forgiveness. Unlike my father, I do not want to wait until I die for you to have all that is mine, for you to have everything that is mine. I can no longer run my business, but you and your wife are quite capable, so I will give you my business now. I ask only one thing, that you take care of me until I die." The son merely nodded, not really revealing what was in his heart. He and his wife moved into the father's home, taking the best room for themselves and moving the old man into a small and sparse room. Little by little, they took more and more of what belonged to the old man, and they sold it and kept the money for themselves. They sold his fine clothes and his books and treasured, valued possessions. The old man wore rags, and because he wore rags and it embarrassed them, they had him eat in the kitchen with the servants. Eventually, they moved him out to the barn where he slept in a corner in rags. Soon the man and his wife forgot the old man was even alive. But their son did not forget his grandfather. Each day, the child would sneak out to the barn to spend time with the old man. The old man would embrace the boy and hold him on his lap and tell him stories of life. Sometimes the boy played alone, for his father rarely spent time with him. And one day, as his father was rushing off to work, he saw his little boy over there, and he was moving piles of rags to one spot and moving blankets to another. The father said, "What are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Well, I have to take these blankets, these fine blankets from the house, and put them in one pile, and I take the dirty rags and I put them in another pile." "Why do you play this game?" the father asked. In all innocence, the boy replied, "I'm practicing for when I am a man like you. I will have these very fine warm blankets for me, and I will save these filthy rags for you, like the ones that grandfather has." The man realized what he had been doing, and with tears in his eyes and repentance in his heart, he swept the boy into his arms. Then he went to his father to beg his forgiveness for the way that he had treated him. And the old man fully forgave him without reservation, without reluctance. Weeping, grandfather, son, and grandson returned to the house together, forgiving and forgiven. Deep, abiding forgiveness is a process. It takes time. And so one of the first things as Christians that we are led to do by the Spirit of God is to pray. To pray, to prepare for forgiveness. Especially to recognize the need to forgive in prayer. To awaken that desire to forgive. Then we decide to forgive without forgetting. Fulfilling the act of forgiving, celebrating the forgiveness granted, and follow through on with the forgiveness, either to reconcile with the offender or to break the relationship. For sometimes it is too dangerous to place yourself in harm's way yet again. So forgiveness, yes, but to come into the presence of the abuser or the offender, no. While all of the world's major religions teach about forgiveness, the necessity of it, it has only recently been that the medical and scientific communities around the world have begun to delve into the importance of forgiveness for health and well-being. I believe Jesus knew that all along. It is widely known that unforgiveness, holding on to past hurts and resentments, deeply affects us emotionally and spiritually and psychologically and in body. It also has great effect on individuals as well as communities. There are so many situations in our society. We live it every day. It is right in our faces, in our society, in our world, in our churches, in our families, in our faith families, in our work, in our schools. And when we don't deal with them, it sows seeds of bitterness that fester into deep, painful wounds. We are surrounded with that. Often we do not want to forgive because we want revenge. We deserve it. We want to return the tremendous hurt, thinking the person or persons who have hurt us should mend us. They should do something to recognize that they have hurt us. Forgiveness comes from praying with a forgiving, sincere heart for the best for the other person who offends you, even though it may choke you and hurt you. We are called to do that. It does not mean that we are to deny our hurt, to minimize it, to gloss it over, to say, well, it really wasn't all that bad, because we cannot truly, really forgive when we don't fully recognize. We continue, though, many times, to drag into the present and the future the remnants of the hurt as a festering wound within us. When we genuinely forgive, we acknowledge the negative impact of another person's actions and attitudes in our lives, even if they're no longer with you. Forgiveness is not a matter of putting someone on probation, and then when they mess up, then you pull that forgiveness back. Forgiveness is genuinely wanting the best for the other person. If I stood before you and I'd never lived it, I probably couldn't preach it. But I can preach it because I have lived it and continue to. Many years ago, there was a young woman that came to my office. She was a single mom and divorced, working two jobs to support three little bitty kids. She told me, since my husband left, every month is scary, just trying to make our bills. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis a year after he left. And she was mournful that when her children wanted something to, like, to go to the movies or snacks or anything extra, that she had to tell them no. Because anything beyond the basics of food and rent and utilities and gas to drive to work, she just couldn't afford it. This all while their father was remarried, lived in a big, beautiful house, taking lavish vacations and living a life that she could not even imagine. At one point in our conversation and in our prayer time, she scolded me and said, "How can you tell me to forgive him?" And my response was, "I'm not asking for you to forgive him because what he did was awful and is not acceptable and continues and remains mean and self-centered. What I'm asking you to forgive, because he doesn't deserve the power to live in your head, to help you grow into a bitter woman who's angry. This is not healthy for you or for your children." I added, "I hope to see him out of your life completely, out of your head as much as he is out of your physical presence." But she would not let go of that. And she got sicker and sicker. She and I talked, and I said, "You're not hurting him by holding on to this resentment, but you're hurting yourself, and eventually your children will suffer from this." There's an old saying that said, "Forgiveness, lack of forgiveness, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person, the offender, to die. The one that hurts, the one that has been hurt, is the one who suffers and dies when they can't let it go." Now, I need to say here, I would never ignore the deep pain of those who have been sinned against, nor would I minimize the difficulty of forgiveness. In fact, there is a call of God within our faith families to come around people who have been hurt that deeply, to be a support for them. To forgive is to make a conscious choice to release the person who has wounded us. Not fair. Not fair, but healthy for body, mind, and spirit. To forgive represents the choice to leave behind that resentment and that desire for payback, however fair such punishment may seem. Forgiveness means the power of the original wound to hold us captive, to keep us in a broken place, when we are to let it go. Our parable today draws the conclusion, solemnly warning us that we must with passion pray to not be tempted to get even with those who have harmed us, and for grace to reflect the kingdom of heaven. Remember that when we sin, God mourns with us and for us. We are not to turn hate on life or to become hurt to people. And the question is, are we people who hurt people because we hurt? Even in forgiving our enemies, they may still remain our enemies, but there is one who is capable of forgiveness of everyone and everything. He is the one that can help us in our prayers. I pray we have seen the unpredictable, outrageous, and creative thing we do when we forgive another human being. I can tell you, there is perfect peace about it. There is perfect peace about it. I pray it for all of us. We reverse the flow of irreversible history, our painful private history. We reverse the flow of pain that began in the past when someone hurt us, a flow that filters into our present to wound our memory and to poison our now and our future. We heal ourselves with the help of God. So, dear ones, listen, hear, and believe. When we forgive, we perform a miracle that hardly anyone notices. We do it alone, although others can help. But in the finality of it, we perform a miracle in the private place of our inner being. We do it silently. No one can record our miracle on a camera or a cell phone. We do it invisibly. No one can record our miracle of forgiveness on social media of any kind. We do it freely. No one can trick us into forgiving. Forgiveness is outrageous. When we do it, we commit an outrage against an even score desire that chokes us. It is creative. When we forgive, we come as close to as any human being can to an essentially divine act of creation. For we create a new beginning out of the past pain that never had a right to exist in the first place. We create with our greatest cheering on God, healing for the future by changing a past that had no possibility in it for anything but sickness and death. If you are trying to forgive, listen well to this. If you are trying well to forgive, even if you manage forgiving in the fits and starts, if you forgive today and hate again tomorrow and have to forgive again the day after, you are a forgiver. Most of us are amateurs, a mess sometimes. We all are. So what? It's part of life. Nobody is an expert at this forgiveness except our Lord and Savior. He is the one. But we are all just beginners. I know it's hard, but it takes practice and courage and failure and getting back up again and forgiving that next day. But at some point, through big prayers, some days bigger than others, it comes and it can't capture you anymore. You hear of the story or you think because you haven't forgotten. And it has no hold on you any longer. So when we forgive, we ride the crest of love's cosmic wave, and we are walking alongside God, and we heal the hurt we never deserved in the first place. Amen. Amen. Thank you. This is a time that we welcome into this faith family any or all that want to come forward and walk this following and seeking to follow faithfully our Jesus Christ. And so we will sing a hymn of invitation. You come down to the front and I will hold you. We will open our arms and our hearts to you. Please come forward as we sing "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy," hymn number 73, verses 1 and 2. Please stand. You may be seated. As human beings, forgiveness takes practice with a sincere heart, sometimes a moment-to-moment, day-to-day thing. Jesus is the one who needs no practice. He was brave while hanging on that cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He laid down his life willingly for us all. So come, receive the cup of mercy and the bread of life. Receive the sweet release of letting go the burden of unforgiveness of self and of others. Receive the sweet forgiveness of Christ here at the table where all are welcome. Let us prepare our hearts to receive this holy meal by singing hymn number 384, all of the verses.
Thank you.
You know that this is the only table where you are the favorite one. That you are forgiven totally. This is the only table. Our Lord and Savior, on the night that he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. A bittersweet night. And when he took the bread, he gave thanks for it, and he broke it and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again." We are about to leave this place of sanctuary, of peace and restoration and reconciliation to Christ. And so we will sing a song, and then I will bless you. But keep it in your memory, in your heart, the words of God, so that you can make it in this world. For God and the Bible and worship is for just such a time as this. So if you'll stand, we will sing hymn number 576. We will sing verses 1 and 3. If you would like a hand cross and you can carry it with you, and if you want to pray for yourself and you want to pray for other people, it gives you a place and a way to hold and to identify. You remember we prayed over a cross like this for Dan Harden. It was blessed by Jeffersonville and it was blessed by all of us. So just let me know and we'll make sure that you have one. Now, let's bow our hearts, our heads into our hearts where Jesus resides, if I can say these words. And I will give you a blessing that is sanctioned by God. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May we each leave here knowing we are forgiven. May we know that forgiveness is an invitation to start over again. May we believe that our perpetual forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of this world. And may you believe that there is a miracle that enters your life each time you truly forgive. Beloved of God, with God's help, heal the hurt you never deserved. and receive health. Go with God in the peace of Christ. You are loved. Amen.